And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared, 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 here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, this is going to be an interesting day. We're going to have Mr. Bob Anderson might come in, and we'll talk about our silver purchases and, you know, how that went and talking to some of the guys. It's going to be interesting what happens, what's coming. Oh, I'm going to share it with you. All right, here we have Jim Hogue. He's a former high school teacher of French and English and acting. He has performed in several independent films and on stage. As an activist, Jim wrote the bill, now VT statute, prohibiting electronic voting in Vermont. He is an advocate of public banking, vaccine choice, and the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit against the governor, Phil Scott, challenges Scott's COVID-19 protocols on constitutional and medical grounds. Jim believes that COVID-19 is a marketing device for the alleged vaccines and for the Great Reset. All right. Now, he has a website, thepeoplesinquiry.com. Thepeoplesinquiry.com. They're setting up right now. He also, his personal website is ernestproductionsvt.org. Ernest with an A. Okay, I'm Ernest without an A, but Ernest with an A, E-A-R-N-E-S-T, productionsvt.org. Now, this is, I came across this from an activist here in Tempe that's putting up a bunch of signs still. I get family and friends to, ooh, I saw one of your signs. I saw another one of your signs. Sign everywhere. A sign. So what we're doing is we're going to be, you know, hammering on some more signs. But there's a small group that turns into a big group. It's a diverse around the country group. And they know of each other and say, oh, this guy, he'd be a-suing the state of Vermont. And I've done this before, and you're usually doing the governor, the attorney general, and then whatever the department of something is. You know, Secretary of State, you know, I'd throw in. You know, or, well, I mean, for mine. But, you know, for, you know, you just, it depends what you're doing. Now, go ahead and let's talk about the suit and why you sued the way you did, what you're alleging, you know, and what evidence that you put in as, what do you call them? You know, you have affidavits, you have, you want to claim jurisdiction, you got to get the right venue, you want, and what court did you sue them in?
Federal.
Okay. So it's U.S. District Court.
Go ahead.
No, so it's U.S. District Court, and whatever the district is there. What's the district for Vermont?
I don't know what it's called, but it's the federal.
Yeah, no, we have like
federal court.
See, I think
Burlington.
Yeah, well, we're in the Ninth Circuit. You know, out of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure which one
Vermont
would be. Okay, so when did you file this?
I don't know. We filed this about a month ago. Then we filed a few amendments. And we added our affidavits, which we can continue to add, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And is there any discovery involved? You're asking for them to I mean, because once you get into the lawsuit and you go, and we want to know this and this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the state has made a motion to dismiss. Of course, they've made a motion to dismiss. We knew that was going to happen. But that hasn't gone before a judge yet. And what we're doing now is we are responding to that motion to dismiss.
Okay, when they do this, you have you file, then there's all these motions, you have a response to the motions, and I think they get another whack at whatever you said, and you got replies and responses going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, a lot of times, initially when you first file it, you know, you're waiting for them to see what they say to, you know, respond, or you just want to paper the file and you're going to do what you're going to do anyway, and I, you know, make them say it. You know, my lawsuits have always been, you know, I just want them to say it, you know. So this is, what do you think they're going to say? What is it you're looking for them to say?
All right. Well, in their motion to dismiss, they have several reasons why they want the judge to dismiss it. One is our standing. Another is that we don't show enough personal harm. Another is that there's nothing wrong with what the governor has done. There is the, of course, sovereign immunity, which is going to play a very big part in this, because what I think they're going to try to pull is that since the governor, every governor has what's called sovereign immunity, if he says there's an emergency, there's an emergency. I don't care if one person in 20 million died. If the governor says it's an emergency, I think they're going to try to pull the sovereign immunity trick on us. And some of their other reasons for making this motion to dismiss, I think, have to do with their legal team has decided that they haven't done anything against the U.S. Constitution. And one of the reasons we got so excited about filing it is we're not the first. Pennsylvania and California have notified their governors that they have overtaxed, is that the word?
Overreached.
They have overreached their power when it comes to the Constitution, particularly the First Amendment, which is the right to peaceably assemble and the right to petition, that sort of thing. So that answers your specific question. I can go forward and tell you a little bit about why we're doing it.
Oh, please. You know, we got time, man. Tell me every little old thing.
All right. And by the way, I just bought silver last night myself.
I know, just to piss them off. You know, I mean, it'll go up, you know, whatever, down. I don't care. It's just, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. But go ahead and tell me what's in the suit and why you prompted to do it. And what were there's a lot of things. I've been through this before. What they do is, did you exhaust all administrative remedies? Did you do everything you could? Why are you here? Why didn't you? Did you send them a really sternly worded letter? I mean, you know, at what point, what other things have you done before you got to this point?
All right. Well, that's a good question, because I didn't do anything specific in terms of asking to talk to the governor. However, I have written to my representatives, my senator, and other people involved say that they have tried several times to get through to the state and to the governor and to make our case to him, and it's all deaf ears. So we didn't have any choice. I was not one of those people who approached the governor on my own. So I just have to take their word for it that they did that. And that's part of the suit, is that the right to petition has essentially been denied. And people who say, well, you're petitioning now with your lawsuit. Well, you know how much money it costs to sue the state?
Well, it depends. You claim your four, it's free. We'll be right back. Four minutes. We got to do a break here, Jim. You got us on the edge of our seats. We'll be right back with Jim Higgs in just a minute. Jim Hogue.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back. Jim Hoagie's out there, you know, fighting fur. All right. When you do the actual suit, now we have on the site, Donna has put it up there for anyone that's interested. You got all the contact information for Jim, and it's the Vermonters Federal suit in the PDF. All these are PDFs. Defendant's opposition to plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction, you know, dismiss and all that stuff. Defendant's motion to dismiss. You got exhibits and attachments. And so when you did this, I was in a similar situation, you know, years ago, and I, for something like this, man, especially I was going after election law and so on, there's no attorney, they didn't want to play, you know, so I'm wondering, are you doing this yourself, or you have somebody helping you, or did you get an attorney that was willing to go up against the state?
Essentially, we are doing it all by ourselves, it's all pro se. We could not find an attorney in Vermont who felt qualified to do it, and so naturally those of us who weren't qualified at all have to take a shot at it, and the amount of time that that some of us have spent on this, you know, would be running up to $50,000 in law costs if you had an attorney do it. And so it's been quite an effort. I'm not the one who did the essential writing. It's based on the Ohio suit, by the way, which has already gone to discovery. And so we thought if we're going to get to discovery, we might as well say the same kinds of things that they said in Ohio. But again, there's a motion to dismiss. So it's been a tremendous effort on the part of one of our people in particular. I don't know if any of these people want their names mentioned at this point on the air, so I won't do that.
Well, have you personally felt any? Have you felt any personal resistance? You know, you got canceled from your, you know, bridge club or something, or you know, the lawn Nazis are coming out and saying you need to mow your lawnmower, or so. I mean, what kind of pressure have you gotten, or just support, or what?
No, it's pretty subtle for me here. I have lovely neighbors. I like them all, but they're all... This is Mask Central, by the way. Vermont is Mask Central.
No, I was in Vermont this summer, and I'll tell you, you can't... They don't fudge even a little bit. The restaurants, we didn't eat there. We didn't stay at any of the campgrounds. We didn't go anything, and they were all over it. And all there was there's no Trump Biden signs, really. It's Black Lives Matter and support the blue line police or something. Might as well be Trump Biden, but it was weird. It was different than the rest of the country. I wonder why that is.
Well, we can go into the demographics. In the 70s, a lot of people moved up into Vermont. They were called hippies in those days, and they homesteaded, and they worked hard, and they built themselves lives. Their children are now in their 50s, And I guess I would say the arrogance of their righteousness is a little bit oppressive.
Yeah.
I think that's enough to say about that, I guess. And I have not felt particular pressure, but people that I know, and especially women, this is what amazes me. These rough, tough people with their masks, they don't pick on me. I walk into a store without a mask. I'm 73, so maybe they think I'm feeble. But I walk into a store without a mask. If anybody gives me a hard time, I say that I'm not supposed to be wearing a mask. One or two places, all the state buildings, you have to wear a mask or you can't do business with the state. Now that, I think we've got them constitutionally, by the way, on that little tidbit. So, no, I haven't faced much problem personally. I don't know how many friends I've lost. I know I've lost one, but that was cool. I didn't have any problem with that one. And I don't know if I've lost any others. There might be some people who are standoffish at this point because nobody knows. You're the second media outlet that has picked up on this. So it's not as if it's widely known that we're doing this. The Vermont press will probably bury it as much as possible. We did have a very nice story at a major television station, however. I didn't have anything to do with that one, but they did a good job. They did a very fair, 15, 20 seconds, whatever it was, and I appreciated that. So some of our people have been bullied severely and yelled at, and I don't think pushed yet. That would be great. I would just love that. Please make my day.
Well, this has been, I'm sure that there's going to be increasing attention for a lot of these, types of efforts and suits and so on. But it doesn't surprise me that somebody did it. It surprised me that it took so long. And it's going to start, the inspiration that you have is going to start a lot of other people to do it, but they want to see what happens. And, a lot of people that would challenge this don't care about the attention. It's like, bite me, spell my name right, But the a lot of people are afraid. We want to see what happens and what methods or how far they go because they always overreach because they don't know any better. They're all about intimidation and force and whatever, and at some point, even the most supportive of their edicts go, that's definitely bad guy stuff right there. So I want to keep track of that, but it always comes down to this emergency thing. They always do this, it's for the health and safety of, we can, chop off limbs or something. I mean, it's always the most egregious things that they do is in the name of health and safety. And that's why we have founder quotes about you give up liberty for safety, you'll lose both and deserve neither. And but they always have defaulted to that in my adult life. It's been, there is some kind of escape clause that they always give themselves that it's for the health and safety of the people. We can beat them over the head every day. So I'm going, okay, is that challenged? I'd like to know about this health and safety thing. How are you addressing that?
You've hit the nail on the head. And in Vermont, what the people are saying is, well, what he's doing must be working because we haven't had a death in, several months. Or we had one death and everybody's so healthy. And then there's a spike every now and then. And they all shut up then, because they can't use that argument at that point. But Vermont is an extremely healthy state as far as COVID-19 goes. And I think they're scared to death that people like me are going back and forth to New Hampshire for some reason.
All right, boy, we got going into break, Jim. We need to pick this up when we come back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going well. We're going to find out some stuff, and then, of course, you guys go to the archive, and you have the actual suit right there. You can look at it.
Yeah.
You can copy it. You can do it yourself. We'll be right back. Jim Hogue, just a little bit.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back. Okay. We have in this lawsuit, United States Federal Court for District of Vermont, okay, which is, I'm not sure which circuit that is, the, we have Jim Hogue, James R. Hogue Pro Se, Salary Colopy, I guess, Emily Payton, and it goes on several names, and then, of course, it goes at Philip Scott in his official capacity, Donovan in his official capacity as Governor and Attorney General, and Mark Levine in his official capacity as Commissioner. Now, that right there, a lot of times, that is a decision in the beginning. As an official capacity, they get protection of sovereign immunity kind of stuff. You know, sometimes, and in some ways, you sue them as individuals. No, this individual's being a butthead and exceeding their yada, yada, yada. So I'm wondering, was that a copy from Ohio, or is that a conscious decision to sue them in their official capacity?
Oh, it's standard. It's called a legal fiction. Whether or not these people are actually responsible, you have to put their names on the suit. But in this case, we chose these three people because they are out there defending the masks and the lockdowns, despite the fact that the evidence is against using those for the sake of people's health. And at the very best, they're useless. At the very worst, they create health hazards. So we named those three people because they're the ones who are really out there doing it. And the governor is the one who made the mandates. If he hadn't made the mandates, you wouldn't see 99% of the people in Montpelier and Burlington and everywhere else. Not to mention, by the way, New Hampshire. They do it too. All these people are wearing masks because the governor, in consultation with the great Fauci, decided that that's the safe way to go, and they're going to stick to that.
Oh, no. They went from two masks to three masks in about less than a week, you know? I'm like, what? This has just gone stupid. So
I love that one because it's like saying, oh, so you're wearing two masks. So if you put up a chain link fence and a mosquito gets through, you put up another chain link fence.
Yeah, no, they're making fun of us. You know, they go to their, you know, secret handshake buddies and they go, watch this. I mean, it's like watching hillbillies with pickup trucks. Hey, watch this. You know, I it's amazing what they are trying to get away with, but you're calling them on it, and I'm wondering, you know, how they're responding in the media. So when you have the government, no comment from there. We don't comment on pending legislation, legal cases, and we don't comment. But have they commented at all in these stories?
No, I haven't. We've been completely ignored, as far as I know, other than their attorney, of course, did the motion to dismiss. But I haven't seen anything in any of the press, except when I mentioned we had a short television interview in Burlington.
I'm a sign guy, man. We should be doing, we got to help you out, man. We got, yeah. So this is, you got any... Where's your support come from? I mean, is it just in the state of Vermont, or you have activists or people around the country that are interested? What?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have very little support. And the support that we are getting, there's an interest, of course, in the Children's Health Defense, which is a heroic organization, marvelous thing. We'd like to get hooked up with Mr. Big Tree, and we'd like to get hooked up with any anybody that believes in the Constitution of the United States and believes in our health, because this suit could be one of a few that is, these are the shots heard around the world, because every time you get a country or a region or a town or one doctor, I hear about it from all over the world. Doctors who get fired, doctors who get silenced, journalists who aren't allowed to go there. In Vermont, I think there's an unwritten rule. You just don't go there, period. And it's a little worrisome, but I said to the group when we first got together, I said, one person can change the world with a lawsuit. And so whoever wants to join us, great. If you don't, fine, because one person can do this and make a big difference. So you saw the number of people on the list there, and probably a couple of those by now have dropped off because they're afraid of the ramifications. Might they lose their job? By the way, I was a radio show host for 27 years, and I got kicked off the air because I pledged to boycott Israel because of their genocide.
Oh, that'll do it.
Right off. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not afraid of that. I didn't, you know, I was a volunteer at the radio station anyway, so no
the
skin
third rail off. Israel, man. You bring that up and you're done, which we have, you know, all the time because I can. But, you know, I understand what you're talking about. Now, I'm reading the response from the other side here and their motion for dismiss. And it's just, I mean, it starts off very scary. I mean, right off the bat. And a lot of people might not recognize what's going on here. Defendants Scott and Donovan and Levine all sued in their official capacities. They always make that clear up front. And you did also. I lean towards, I'm like, no, that's a butthead that did butthead stuff as a butthead. You know, oh, he's a governor too? Don't care, he's a butthead. I mean, you know, so that's my opinion. Then it goes to all, is through their attorney, to dismiss all claims against them pursuant to Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 12B1 and 12B6. In support, defendants submit the following memorandum of law, blah, blah, blah. We get dismissed because we're governor and there's case laws that said you can't sue us because we're get to do what we want. So that's basically that, and you got to address that right off. I'd love to see some of this stuff overturned. But they it goes on, state COVID-19 in Vermont state of emergency. This is their, you know, stipulation of what happened. Governor Scott declared a state of emergency in Vermont on March 13, 2020, following the World Health Organization's March 11, 2020 declaration of novel coronavirus outbreak as a global pandemic and initial detection of the disease in Vermont. So they got the World Health Organization determining whether Vermont shuts down and locks down the state for the citizens. And I'm going, that right there that they admit to here, I'm going, whoa, whoa. And because the World Health Organization rules the world now, which is what they were trying to do. They're trying to, this is like Vermont is in on the deal. So I'm wondering, there's so many questions on just that. You know, who, so World Health Organization runs the world now? You know, so, and then it started with environmental stuff and the biodiversity zones and the forest and the United Nations doing this and that and so on. It just, it expands until all of a sudden, boom, you're, instead of the government protecting your rights, they got you locked down, curfewed, and forcing stuff in your flesh. So I'm, where do they get this power? Well, it's all going to be health and safety. Health and safety. We got health. We love, you got to shoot them to save them. I mean, you know, look, ooh, that's a good one. You got to shoot them to save them. Oh, they're coming right for it. Yeah, I'm wondering if they, I got a sign idea percolating. All right. We'll talk about it. I'll take a closer look at this and see what pops out at me when we come back. We'll be right back with Jim Hogue, and it's the case against the governor of Vermont for the lockdowns. You know, and, you know, he's got an election law interest, too. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll go over some, what is the actual goal that you're looking for? The recension of everything? You know, you want a pound of flesh and a dollar? I mean, well, what are you looking for?
Are we doing that right now?
Yeah, we can talk about it. This is still recorded for the archive, okay. But, you know, the live show when we come back in a little bit. But I just want to kind of get it out and go over this with you a little bit. Legal standard.
Oh, right now. Well, the immediate thing is we're asking for an injunction against these protocols. And the other immediate thing is we're saying that the legislature may pass no laws regarding these mandates until this lawsuit is resolved. So those are two immediate demands.
Okay, now they're looking here, they're going legal standard. A motion to dismiss. A complainant must contain sufficient factual matter accepted as true to state a claim to relief that is plausible on its face, blah, 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 blah. When you're sitting there and you're going, look, we say this sucks and you should stop doing it, and they go, we're going to file for a dismissal because you haven't stated, you know, we got the World Health. That's why they stated the World Health Organization up front. They go, well, we got the World Health Organization. What do you got? And you go, well, I got my rights to, you know, ignore you. And they go, nope, nope, that's not good because we got the World Health Organization is, you know, is telling us that it's bad, so it's bad, and we claim our power from that. That's what they're saying.
Fauci. They're working with Fauci on this. He actually came to Vermont. Our Vermont governor is buddy-buddy with Fauci, and I think he gets a gold star. Every time he does what Fauci wants him to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people were suggesting that it's so obvious. His connections are so obvious with these people that we ought to start looking into some financial connections.
Yeah, and then what? Of course there is. And then what? You know, I mean, these guys are all in, man. No, we're under attack. This is a nationwide, forever and always, we're taking over and rule you from the central command of, you know, United something. You know, and you're just in the way, man. You're a little speed bump. We got to go over that bump, damn it.
That's what I am, is a speed bump. And if we had 50 speed bumps and more people getting it, it would be over.
Hey.
If the people of Vermont decided they didn't wear masks, you know what the governor could do? Nothing. That would be the end of it. If the people just did a little research and discovered what's wrong with the masks, what's wrong with the lockdowns, then it would be over. But God forbid they would do that because the World Health Organization knows everything and so does Fauci.
And holding
I'm sure that you have followed.
Yeah, no, I'm up to speed. Holding that plaintiff challenging COVID-19 public health orders lacked standing because orders did not directly burden plaintiff. What? How are you?
Just flummery.
How are you not directly burdened? Flummery.
Yeah, well, we have all these affidavits that do nothing but tell how each of us was burdened by these mandates.
All right.
So I'm not going to go into why I was burdened. It sounds like I'm whining, but...
All right, well, let's come back. We're coming back. Here we go. Hold on.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Farum. Uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. Okay, this is, as I'm looking at their motion to dismiss, you know, I've been through this before, and it's just ouch, quit it. God, how many pages is this freaking thing? You know, they got 20-something pages. God, is it even more? Oh, my God. 25 pages of, make me. You did it wrong. I'm not. This case says that we can do what we want to do. We're going to do it, and kind of, you know, done. I've had one case that I was helping another gentleman with on a similar thing,
And he made the mistake of trying to go through and answer everything that they had in there. And I suggested, I go, don't even open it. It's just all gobbledygook. Go, yeah, I say they're full of crap, and I stand by what I just said. Next. Let's go. And he missed a deadline because, you know, of course, you know, you can't extend, and they can extend whenever they want. But I missed a deadline and had the case dismissed. And I'm just going, you know, you got to be careful not to get sucked down their hole. Or you take all these cases and you go, okay, we're gonna work them. We're gonna go through every freaking single one of them. It's called shepherdizing. You go through all of the cases and precedents that have anything to do with what you're doing. The problem is that, of course, they pick the cases that, you know, support their position. Are there other cases that support yours? Well, then you got to go find them. The other thing is that a lot of these published cases, there are unpublished cases that you can't find or don't know about unless somebody tells you about them or you know. I found that out, too. And I'm going, what? The court gets to just publish and make available to search the ones that they want? I'm going, oh, my goodness. And then if you go back and you actually read the cases, is it on point? Now, they'll say that. They'll go, oh, that's not on point. On point, off point. You know, the point is that,
that's,
you know,
that's right.
Is it have anything to do with what the hell you're talking about? They don't care. See, this is my point. If you're doing this, it's not whether they dismiss or not or any of this other stuff. It's what you learn from it. Get them to say it. And what they're putting in this here, they're starting off from the beginning saying that they're justified in doing what they're doing because the World Health Organization said. That is the basis of this whole thing. That is what I want challenged. That is what I want discovery on. That is what I want. Who the hell rules this country? So I'm interested in how this comes out. What's the next deadlines that you guys are up against?
It's the response to the motion to dismiss, and I don't know what the date is on that, but we're working on it. And I agree with you. What I'm advocating for the group is that our response to their motion to dismiss is maybe just the numbers to prove there's no emergency. They're lying. When they say, oh, the hospitals are full, we don't have enough beds.
No, they'll come out and say, no, we got all these reports and other people say and Fauci say and they all got shiny badges and they say, and because we did this, we don't have it, you're welcome. I mean, you know, I already know what they're going to do. They're going to maintain the power to them to do whatever the hell they want to do. And they're going, our draconian measures is what saved you and you're not appreciative, you ungrateful little slave. You know, I know exactly, you know, how they're going to approach this. And they're going to get support of the media. They're going to get support of what. So I'm, yeah, do this. I would be interested, but it's so much. And I don't know how much time you guys got or whatever, but if you pick any one of these cases and you go through and you actually read the cases and you find out what the precedent is, what's the point? And I guarantee they're going to be, you know, bastardize it. You can use their own cases against them, but the judge that's looking at this ain't going to care. They've already made up their mind. They're either for them or against them to begin with, and the pressure's on them. This is what Nuremberg and Germany trials were all about. You know, it was the judges. You know, the judges are the ones that, you know, facilitated all this stuff happening, and the judges that get hung and shot and all this other stuff, but who was telling the judges to do it? Those guys, you know, they skated or, I don't know, wound up in bunkers dead or something. But the thing is, it's judges. And when you're going to the judges, they know, the bad guys know they got to get the judges on their side. So all they got to do is give them an excuse. It's like a lobbyist to a congressman. Here's your 3x5 card with what you got to say. Oh, the health and safety and dead grandmas and stuff. You know, they just got the same mantra. But the point is they're going to have a central command from out of this country is determining what our representatives in this country make you do. or prevent you from doing. And the Declaration of Independence, why this show is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, is because the Declaration was very clear. The only purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish it, your right, your duty. And what they're doing is you now, instead of having a government making sure that you can conduct a business without being bothered, that you can, you know, go about your business, that you can open a business, that you can keep a business, they're locking you down, curfewing you, making you take forced medical treatment, all kinds of stuff. This is the definition of a bad government. So I'm going, where is that addressed? I mean, what is your claim? Your claim is that you want relief for what? To stop locking us down? Your proper role is, the state constitution says, do you have, what are you claiming?
We are claiming that there is no emergency. That's number one. We are claiming that it's unconstitutional to exercise the mandates that you have written down as mandates. So that's the overall umbrella of what we are claiming, and we want it, and what we are requesting is that a judge order or that a jury order that it be stopped.
Okay. So this is, you know, I can see, yeah, as I look through this, I've done many federal suits, and I've been to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, argued as my own attorney, oral argument. I've done three to Arizona Supreme Court. I've done. And when I go in, one of the things, it's easier to copy other suits done by lawyers and stuff, but they get all gobbledygooky. And my thing was, I go, what did they do? Okay. Why did they do it? Or I want to know why. And this is what violation was of mine, because it's more like a press release than it is a lawsuit. When you're doing and you get attention from the media, as if it's even clear what the heck it is that you're doing. You know, that remedies available at law, such as monetary damages, are inadequate to compensate for the injury. That the remedy in equity is warranted upon consideration of the balance of hardships between the plaintiffs and the defendants. That the permanent injunction being sought would not hurt public interest. So you have these other cases and stuff that you put in there, and you go, look, our remedy, what we're asking, because they want jurisdiction. Do you have jurisdiction to file the suit? And then venue, are you in the right place to do it? You know, then you got your standing, and then what's your relief? You know, a lot of times I don't like what they're, you got to be specific on what you want them to do. So you want them a permanent injunction against future public health emergencies for more than 30 days or an extremely limited period of time without regular reauthorization by the legislative body should be granted. That's what you're asking for. You want no more.
But that's the Constitution.
Okay.
That's the Vermont Constitution.
Ooh. Tell me about that.
I have a copy of it upstairs, but the part you're reading is a part of the Vermont Constitution which says that the governor, if a legislature is not in session, the governor may determine an emergency for 30 days. And so the way they've gotten around this is they keep doing that. And then again, since March, he keeps reclaiming the emergency. So we believe that's against the Vermont Constitution.
Yeah, and then they get to decide whether it is or not. We had a similar thing filed against in Hawaii. A good friend of mine was the attorney on that. And, you know, this is, I'm looking forward to seeing this walk through, but there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff here. And if you're going to throw a lot of stuff at them, they're going to throw a lot of stuff back, and you got to go through every single little one of these things. I want to talk to you about this a little more. Can you stay on through the end of the next hour a little bit?
About 15 minutes.
Okay,
yes.
Let's do that. You know, we'll come in. Let's go take a break.
Okay.
We come in at 6 after the hour, after the news and everything, and we'll go to like 15 after, because there's some other, I want to chance to read this and go over it a little bit. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, we're in break. We come in 8 minutes, six after, and let me go over this a little bit more. And yeah, it's already done, but this is a press thing. This is to the people thing. This is pamphlets and, you know, and slides or just QR codes or printed material of, you know, go here, read this, something. You know, God, what is the town there? Vincennes. Is that the name of the town in Vermont?
There's a Vincennes.
Vincennes. Vincennes, we stopped our bus there. We did some sign production. We know one of the city councilmen there and a local that we were helping with, you know, some other draconian, they do this kind of crap stuff. And we did a few shows and kind of focused on it. So I'm kind of familiar with the, you know, some of the hierarchy and the demographics of Vermont. And it's because of us just, you know, paying attention to this kind of stuff. But throughout the country, it's the same thing. They are starting, it's all about consolidation of our reasons why we did it and a consolidation around the idea that we can do it and you can't stop us. So when you get the idea that the World Health Organization is determining everything and they all jurisdictions come and say, yeah, it's health and safety and we can do what we want, you have to penetrate that. You know, well, can you do whatever you want for as long as you want? Do we have, you know, foreign entities that are a justification for these actions? I mean, once we go down that road, and it, without challenge, it's going to keep going. I'm going to look in here. I want to see some more stuff. But we'll be back at 6 after, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Talk to you in a little bit.
Yep.
These aren't partisan issues. Lisa Brady, Fox News. That message from the White House as the president holds an Oval Office meeting on COVID relief with 10 Republican lawmakers. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki saying the president's confident. They're concerned about reopening schools and speeding up vaccinations, too.
It's important to him that he hears this group out on their concerns, on their ideas. He's always open to making this package stronger.
The president has proposed a $1.9 trillion package and has said it's important to get more COVID relief passed quickly, even without Republican support. The GOP proposal is about $600 billion, aimed at more targeted relief Democrats are calling not enough. The snow just keeps coming, more than some parts of the Northeast have had in years, and it'll stay stormy for a while yet. Fox's Grinnell Scott has this live.
Lisa, some forecasts have the snow falling, wind blowing, and roads icing over into the evening hours on Tuesday. That prompted New York Mayor Bill de Blasio to tell residents,
"We expect a lot more snow before this is over. Storms are unpredictable. So I want everyone to realize it's not over. We got a long way to go."
People have been urged to stay home, and that has caused many COVID vaccination sites to shut down from New York northward. But Vermont is saying, with snow levels not at quite a foot, they plan to open some vaccination locations tomorrow, Lisa.
Thanks, Grinnell. The storm also canceling hundreds of flights and disrupting public transportation, forcing some schools to go all remote and others to declare an actual snow day. The Biden administration is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to cancel arguments set for this month on two appeals brought by the Trump administration over funding for the border wall and on asylum seekers having to wait in Mexico. Both are programs the new administration plans to suspend pending further review. So they argue that could make those court fights moot. America is listening to Fox News.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, out of fear! and a veered here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Another independence declaring kind of individual, Jim Hogue. All right, I've been looking this over, and I can see. I tell you, I got to give you compliments. Never before have I been so surprised by so many people that have not done anything. Then you have somebody that does something. You going, man, you just stick out. You're like a red marble and, you know, a sea of white, man. I mean, it's just, you know, here I am. We're going to do something. So any criticism that you get for actually doing something is, you know, unwarranted, unwelcome, and, you know, screw you, where were you? So I just want to give a different perspective on how the reason why, after a month or so, you haven't been getting any press. One, because they don't want to. You know, that's one thing. You got to go straight to the people. You got to make the argument because you think that we used to do it getting a government number. Whenever you got an arrest number, you got a recall, referendum, initiative. You have a candidate filing, an arrest number, a lawsuit number. Whenever you get the number, that's when you got the press because it was a starting pistol for media. It goes, hey, they got a number. Oh, my God, there's a number. We got a number, a case number. When you have a number, it's like a permission slip for them to talk about it, unless they don't want to talk about it. This is interesting to me that you have a government number. It's a, you know, a case number that includes the governor, the attorney general, and the health thing in, you know, the guy, the county health, whoever the heck he is. And you have the a big, giant global issue like this in little old Vermont, and there's no press coverage. You get one little television segment, and they'll do that, just shut you up. But have you worked this as a press issue on the boards, on with the local councils, to the board of supervisors of each county or commissioners, or what do you call them? And have you pushed it at that way to the media themselves? Have you done press releases with copies of the lawsuit? Have you sent it out, or is it just a Facebook page? How have you done the public media this?
We have not, in particular, done the public media. We thought that maybe the public media would come to us, but we did write a press release. The trouble is, we keep getting more information, and we don't want to send the press release out yet. So we still have not sent the press release out. But I think we ought to just do that, and then when more information comes in, like, you know, another 1,000 people dying from the vaccine, from the COVID vaccine,
right,
we can add that to the next press release.
You know what my experience is? I want to interject this. My experience has been a lot of the information that you need, you will find out from the press. And that might be a backhanded way. Did you know about, you know, but they're going to generate a lot of things that have been coming to them that they'll want to tell you. And sometimes it comes from the editing bay, you know, hourly worker, cameraman of something. You know, these are the guys. It's amazing what will come out from just people that knew about it because you went to the press. There might even be in the press. So this is the first thing. Of all this that I'm looking at, there's a lot of good arguments here and so on. But if nobody knows it, it doesn't matter. You know, so only who are you going to convince? The governor and his attorneys? They don't give a crap. You know, that this is, you know, not where your power is. I would, the first thing right now, and your people that are listening to this, you need to, I mean, if you just did a copy of the, I wouldn't even, hell, just do the cover, you know, with a web page for them to go and download the rest of it. This has been filed. I bet they don't even know. So once you start PR campaign, then you'll start getting more help from more people and more, because there's a lot of questions in here. When you put in, you know, the one that I highlighted first, 166, the facts demonstrate that this emergency declaration and the orders promulgated from such declaration were done contrary to science. Now go, well, yeah, well, we got, you know, Fauci. I mean, that's what his job is, and World Health Organization, and all that crap. These facts must be reviewed under Blaisdell and Sinclair and provide a clear demonstration for the constitutional necessity of the injunctive. Well, that's just arguing. That's back and forth. Yeah, our science will beat up your science, and ouch, quit it. And I go way more fundamental, but it doesn't matter. And you go through, there's a bunch like this, and when you have never has the executive branch of a state government attempted to disregard the letter and spirit of the Constitution to the extent under the guise of a non-proven emergency. Oh, yeah, well, we got, you know, proof and, you know, shiny badges and federal, international, UN organizations of whatever. I mean, it's just an ouch, quit it. It's just an argument. But this discussion needs to be out amongst the people. You need it. Somebody had a chance. It's not whether you win on the merits or not. You already won by filing it, but nobody knows. So this is, you get into the pieces of paper and you stare at the words and you start arguing over that is not the argument. The argument is that you made an argument, that you did a redress of grievance of your government. It's a First Amendment, I get the redress. I get the complaint. I get to have you answer my complaint. I get all this ouch, quit it of you're not allowed to even ask me, and you did it wrong, and it's vague, and your remedy is not, and we got, you know, World Health Organization on our side. See, all this stuff is legal crap that they put you in to distract you from the real issue, is that Jim Hogan, friends, has challenged the government for their power to do that. We need to have a public discussion. But you got to get it out to every single media. We would publish a newspaper called Citizens Take an Initiative, and it's about all the initiatives we would file. In there, in the spreadsheet, in the center cover one time, we put the listing of every newspaper, radio, and television in the entire state of Arizona, along with their fax number, phone number, email, everything. We just put it in there. And then we had the information. You do that along with this, everybody will go, ooh, thank you for providing that information. It have your webpage on it, the case number on this, and so on. But you gave them information that they'd use for pushing back on a whole bunch of stuff and their ideas. So by doing that, I would suggest that simple thing. You send this to every media outlet and tell them, man, somebody's got a something on something. And then whatever you're giving out in newsprint form, one-page flyer on two sides for all I care, and it has all of the media contacts and your case and a PDF where they can download it, because you need the help of people. You need people. You don't have enough people that know that you're doing this. And I'm to have the second media place do it from Arizona isn't going to do you any good. Well, other than inspire us, so thank you. But, you know, you see my point? You need to get this out.
Oh, yeah. What we have done is put together a list, which is easy to find, of all the different media outlets in Vermont. And that's where the press release is going once we decide absolutely that this is the press release. And so that includes television stations and radio stations and all the print media as well.
A good start. Good press release now is better than a perfect one that nobody saw too late. I tell you that.
Yep. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to be paying attention to Jim for quite a bit longer on this.
From the third letter of Captain Mark.
Okay. That's in that segment. We can go another segment and then you get to talk. I bet I built you all up. You know, here, you got something to say when we come back?
Yeah, I've got a few minutes. When we come back,
All right.
I just want to make sure I cover the ignorance of the state regarding their emergency.
See, you're assuming they're ignorant. They don't care. Mm. They're sociopaths, psychopaths. We get to do. They, you know, all governments have. These people are there for a reason, for someone's agenda, and Vermont is definitely in that agenda. So this is. They don't care.
One of their health department people was on the air, and he didn't seem to know what the amplification cycle for the PCR test was. So I think he literally didn't know.
He doesn't. They don't, because they don't care. You know, they don't care.
No, they don't care.
You know, even Fauci goes, if you go over you know, 35, you know, sequences, well, then everybody's got corona. And I go, well, how many are they doing? Yeah. Well, 36 to 80 or some shit like that. You know, see, for the audience, what that means is that you got to go to get enough material to even test. You got to, like, replicate it or copy it or keep growing it or something like that. And after so many times of doing that, everybody tests positive. Well, they did it enough to make sure a bunch of people tested positive. You know, and then, well, do they have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they tested positive. Well, the PCR test guy, you know, this is all crap. And then all of a sudden he wakes up dead. You know, I'm going, wow. You know, I mean, it's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. You know, I've seen this happen so many times, but what I'm glad of, having been an activist and using all these tools at my disposal, is that what I'm glad is that you're actually doing something, inspiring other people to do something and providing a template for something to do. But what happens is mm-hmm. when you have a case like Ohio, or my friend that did attorney in Hawaii, he has a law office in Honolulu and in the Phoenix area. So, you know, he travels back and forth. Well, now he can't go run his business because he's got to quarantine for 2 weeks every time he wants to go visit. He's got a home there. You know, he lives in Arizona and Hawaii. You better pick because you're not going to be able to just travel between the two, you know. So he's like, man, this sucks. So he filed suit. Well, what was, you know, his template? What did he argue? Is it the same for each state? Is there something, a more general question? So I'm more for the educate. Whatever I do is always to educate everybody, because I never went in thinking that they're going to go, oh, God, I'm glad you explained it that way. Well, shit. You know, we'll stop doing it. You know, Jim did it. They slapped themselves in the forehead and said, "Wow, I could have had a V8." I mean, you know, so I understand, but I have approached it in a different way. I just want them to say it. I want you on record. I want discovery. I wanted to see what your argument is. But in the meantime, everybody understands what's going on. And my problem is in here where you said, you know. This is, to the plaintiff's knowledge, a case of first impression. And then you go, while we recognize that there may, on occasion, be a legitimate public health emergency, and I'm not even acknowledging or acquiescing to that. I'm going, no, hell no. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you power to tell me, you know what, your power is supposed to be for me to be able to leave, or me do what I want. Yeah. I have the freedom to, you know, get some sunshine, you know.
That's why we're first hitting the constitutional aspects of it.
All right, here we're coming back. Get your say before you have to go. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
All right. Jim Hogue's got to go in a little bit here. I won't give him the last word. But this is, you know, in their suit, while we recognize that there may on occasion be a legitimate public health emergency and that under state power of the police, you know, the states are most equipped to protect their citizenry, allowing for the unending declaration is, you know, without a check on the powers, completely unconstitutional. See, that's just a matter of degree. That's an argument. Oh, you already said we could do it. It's just, oh, this is a world hell. Oh, we had the world. We got Fauci mm-hmm. and everybody said, oh, my God. Well, then, of course, we got the power then. Are you saying you said we had the power? Well, what better example would you have for us to exercise that power? I mean, I already know where this goes. This is a PR thing.
Yeah.
They're going to make that argument right there. And I'm going, the only purpose government has is to give me the freedom for me to determine whether I have an emergency, whether I want to lock in, go out, where, not where, shot, not shot, whatever. You leave it to me. That is the function of government, is to give me the freedom for me to take care of myself. When you acquiesce to that right there, you already lost the argument, in my opinion. But what you're arguing is, look, man, even if we give this power to you, you really have gone over, and the science supports this and that. Then you're arguing over details of how they do it. You see my point?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you still need to have this argument. You know, you still need to have this discussion. You need to have, you know, just an exchange, just like I did with you right there with everybody. Everybody needs to go, maybe it's the power that we even give them to even do it anytime. Maybe that's the problem. But you need to have the discussion. You need to get this out. So, All right, I want to give you the last word. I feel better. I got to express myself. But I tell you, you are a rare individual. There are a lot of people out there that are just sitting down doing nothing. And I don't give a crap if you do it perfect or not. We learn stuff, and we learn that there are people resisting. That is the main thing out of this. Go ahead and finish up with what you need to say, man.
Well, I just wanted to let people know that the PCR test is getting more and more criticism from around the world, that the amplification cycle is what you just said. They can determine that a peach has COVID-19 if they want to, and they've done it. And also with contact tracing in the state of Vermont, we have to do that when we go into a restaurant. And I put down things like Tara Bonaparte and Ethan Allen and whatever I feel like because, you know, that's who I am. But again, if the people of Vermont were to just decide that's enough, we know one innkeeper who couldn't get. He wanted to form a class action suit among innkeepers in the state of Vermont, who are the most punished part of the Vermont economy. He couldn't get one, not one other innkeeper, because they were sitting there with their hands out waiting for the government to help them. So that's where we're at right now. So it's a hard row to hoe when you're trying to get the people on your side when their safety is in question. So that's one of the reasons we're trying to explain to people that it isn't safe to wear a mask. It isn't safe to go into lockdown. And then we have all the cases to show that. So that's one push that we're using. And the other is the constitutional push. And I certainly thank you for your advice as to what they are up to versus what we are up to.
They're delaying. They're going to make it moot, and it doesn't matter. And you got 15 elections since the time, and they're never answer if it's dismissed if we don't care. What they want is to not have the discussion. They don't want to even talk about it. So you need to talk about it. You know, you get this out there. Whatever you polish it. I say if your press release is more than one page, it's too long anyway. You know, I'm just like,
one page.
Yeah, boom. I skip to the end. You know, the evidence of, they're full of crap. You can say what you got in your documents. Make them go look. You know, make them report on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't write it for them. I mean, you know, you give them what, here it is. What, it's not like an important, timely issue or something, unless they're just freaking in the pocket of. And a lot of times they'll write it and they'll go, oh, the crazy people, the crazy in the tinfoil hat, crazy people, conspiracy crazy. You know, but they'll write the story at least, get to spell your name right. I mean, you know, I don't care. You know, I will do my best, you know, to get this out. We'll put it out, take your documents. We'll make, Donna, if you're listening, go ahead and take the documents here, make a standalone article with it, make it an article with all the PDFs and announcement of what they're doing, and then link it to this show, you know, the archive for this. Now, I can help you a little bit and get people they know about and go over and so on. Any criticism they do, they go, oh, well, they did this. Well, then do it. You know, the biggest criticism is, you know, going to be you're not following suit with Jim and doing it your own damn self, because when you do it pro se, what's the filing fee in Vermont to go to the district court?
I think we paid $400 just for the basic fee.
And this, and if you have somebody poor or former pauper, you can file a motion of former pauperous, which means I can't afford the $400 fee. And they go, okay. You know, and you can get that free too. You know, so I'm... Yeah. And if you're not using an attorney, it's just how much you can do in copy paper. And as you move on up, you got to make copies to give every judge a copy of something. So you get a copy machine or something to help you out. But so you need somebody to donate. You know, you can go make a bunch of copies. But the other than that, man, you need to hit the press with this. If you haven't done that yet, you wonder why you're not getting attention. Let me tell you why. Because they're not actively going out and looking for, you know, opposition to their government, man, you know? All right.
They're hiding from it.
Well, I encourage that right there. I mean, you're blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter if nobody knows. And it could be as simple as just making a bunch of signs with a QR code, you know, that resistance is not futile QR code that goes to your webpage that has a lawsuit. I mean, something. Now, some. You put it at all the tables, all the restaurants, because Vermont's not that big. I mean, come on, man. You know, so I'm. You guys need some help. Anything? Give me a call. Have the people. They listen to this. I want to help. And we're going to be back in Vermont probably June. So we mm-hmm. come back through that way. Maybe if this is still going on, we can do a little something to help. Because I'm in. I'm looking to help. That's why I'm calling you. I'm looking to help people that are helping themselves, which you are doing. Thank you. And
Alrighty.
But I'm not even giving them the power that, okay, well, maybe you have the power under a really, really big emergency to do something. And they go, what? World Health Organization, Fauci and the government and all that. That's not big enough. That's not big enough. I got CNN footage that says it's big. You know, it's big enough for me to tell you you can. That's not big enough. That's what they're going to argue. Mm-hmm. You know, I can already see it. So I'm no stipulation to that. The purpose of government is to allow to protect your individual rights that gives you the freedom to make these kinds of decisions for yourself. If you see someone's a threat, separate yourself. You want to get all bunkerized in your place? Fine, but in the business thing, you know, I call BS on that. But when they lock you in your home, when they force mm-hmm. notions and potions in your flesh, that never, ever, ever, ever works out well. Never. I got a government that's going to make me take a medication. Man, them's war making times. That is terrible. So I applaud Jim Hogan, friends, for doing this. Go to ErnestProductionsVT.org for Vermont. Ernest with an A, ProductionsVT.org.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist.
All right, there we go.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
We got you in. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Oh! All right, here comes the CDC. Announced an order late Friday that will require people to wear a face mask while using any form of public transportation, including buses, trains, taxis, airplanes, boats, subways, rideshare vehicles, while traveling into, within, and out of the United States. If you're moving, you got to have a mask on. Masks must be worn while waiting, boarding, traveling, disembarking. It said the coverings need to be at least two or more layers of breathable fabric secured to the head with ties, ear loops, elastic bands, and scarves and bandanas don't count, the order says. The CDC says it reserves the right to enforce the order through criminal penalties, but it strongly encourages and anticipates widespread voluntary compliance and expects support from other federal agencies to implement the order. All right. So on top of now, you got to have two masks. Now, screw it, three. Oh, and it's got to be approved of. And then the N95 mask on the label says it doesn't, protect against COVID-19. I mean, it says that. What are you supposed? It's just a signal, man. It's a virtue signal. It's just a big psychological mind screw. There, less than a week after telling Americans that wearing two or even three masks would be more effective against the spread of coronavirus, Dr. Anthony Fauci is now admitting that even though these new mandates are being put in place, that there is no data to suggest that it will make any difference. What difference does it make? Shows that you're a good rule follower. That's what it does. Are you a rule follower? Are you following the rules? We're gonna make up all kinds of crazy rules, but are you gonna follow them? Well, they're a rule, so you should follow them because they're a rule. Okay. Where's the pushback? What is it that we're going to be doing? What's something simple that you can do? And that's what this silver thing was all about for me. I mean, a lot of people, they're going to, get filthy, stinking rich, and they're going to whatever. In the next hour, Robert's going to come in and, we're going to yak about it a little bit, what we've been talking about and doing, and he went out and the education aspect of with your family and sons and friends and talking about what you're doing and how you're doing it and all that. And what did the silver guys say? You know, maybe we might check, see if we can get some of the guys on, you know, here directly. We got Tim Fry over at Robertson Roberts. You go to freedomsphoenix.com in the top left. You have the Robertson Roberts widget up there, and you just go in there and you can see, you know, what stuff costs. And we got, you know, Bitcoin Cash is at 420. Time to inhale some Bitcoin Cash. Then we have Bitcoin Classic Core, whatever you call it, at 34,600. So that's doing okay. Gold is down 24.90 and silver's down to 26.31, which is down $2.24 from yesterday. You know, why is it down when there's no physical silver left to get? Because they short it. Because they can. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. But is silver ever going to be worthless? I mean, is it ever going to go to zero? You know? Probably not, you know, so I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just for the health benefits of it, I'm like, you know, you need to have an ounce. I mean, just laying around to, you know, make some colloidal silver with, you know. But so I tell you how easy, I didn't have any colloidal silver. I started getting a sore throat, and I was on a plane, and this was, I don't know, one of the trips this last year or something. I mean, you can just start to feel it, you know. And, you know, don't tell anybody on the plane, you might be getting a sore throat or they'll shoot you. But I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, I can't afford to get sick. I don't want to. And all I had in my bag, in my computer bag, I had one silver round, a Freedom's Phoenix silver round that I, you know, keep in there. And I had, and I just put it in my mouth, in the back of my throat, and just held it there. By the time I landed, it was gone. I mean, it's that simple kind of stuff. I've been silver spraying a whole bunch. Man, you put silver. It's just ions of silver. You touch, get in there, suck on it, whatever the hell. That's why it was, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. That's what that meant. You know, why would they have silver spoons? Well, the reason is, it's antimicrobial. You know, you got a little baby, and you know, they're doing kind of, man, you know, it's a health thing. What happens if everybody's got a silver spoon? What if it's everybody uses silverware? That was one of the reasons for silverware. You know, Paul Revere, he was a silversmith. Everything was on silver because, not only because it was, I don't know, I'm not a big giant fan of cleaning tarnish off silver all the time, but, you know, it was the silver itself that had health benefits. How much is going to be sold just for that? I don't know. What about industry? They need silver for a whole bunch of stuff, electronics, for the connections and everything. Silver? You guys have some silk, have some silver? And it's gone. Well, is it going to go up? This is the supply, the physical supply of silver has dried up at all the retail outlets. Now, you'll have some people like, I think I saw J.P. Morgan, they got gazillions of ounces sitting there. So they can do what? You know, they could sell into the market if they wanted to. You know, they could drive it down, you know, then I don't know why, you know, so they can buy more and it go back up again or something. They got big holdings of silver. You know, some of these guys do. You know, everybody else shorted. You know, they didn't because they had it. You know, so when you have people shorting it, why? Because they can. They're making money pushing it down. But what happens when the people are in a line around the building, which is what happened yesterday, to buy physical silver to the point they don't have any more? So how's that going to impact it? Is it going to make it go down $2? Really? You know, sounds like somebody shorting a bunch of stuff. How long will that hold? Are they worried? That people just keep, whatever, I'll keep buying it. It's down? Good, I'll keep buying it. I can buy me some more. What's the premium on it? It was like $5 an ounce to get physical. I'm like, holy crap. You know, if we go to these different platforms, and I'm looking at Robertson Roberts, and it doesn't look like he has prices. It's not coming up. Well, he has prices, you know, the silver and so on, but it looks like he's out of product. Let's see, you got other products. Is he out? All right. Well, he's got platinum. And palladium, I think he might be out. You know, all right. Well, you know, let's see. We'll do some APMEX, I think it is, that we used to get from. Let's see. A lot of this stuff you can, you know, one thing about Roberts and Roberts is they take crypto. You know, they have from, like, the beginning, long time ago. You know, you go in and send some crypto, and they go, well, thank you, and we don't do credit cards because we don't trust them. But we'll go ahead and, you know, we'll do crypto. All right. Let's see. 1 ounce, 2021 American Silver Eagle, $40. $40.02. Let's see. I don't know why this other silver eagle is more. It's $41.02. Well, let's see. We got to find something here that's cheaper. Where's their bargain? $39.02. Canadian maple, $36. Okay, $36.02. And how much bulk you got to buy, you know, for this? And let's see if we do junk silver. We're going down to. It's about 36 is the lowest you can get. You know, see, it's a kangaroo, silver kangaroo, $36.02. But what's the price? You know, it's like $8. What is this, a premium of $7, $8? You see my point? The price of silver is what somebody will pay for it. What you're looking at is, one, two things. One, it's usually silver when you buy them in 100-ounce bars. That's, you know, kind of, you know, the standard industrial, and that's the price I think they quote is 100-ounce bars. The other thing is that then you have premium over it, you know, for them making coins out of it, you know, whatever. But if you buy 10-ounce bars, you know, a lot of times 10-ounce bars are popular. You know, I'll do that, see if they got, you know, a 10-ounce bar here. But, yeah, oh, man, the premium is just, oh, my God. Some of these numismatics are, you know, like not even worth mentioning. They're way too much. But that price, a lot of times, is what they've driven it down to. It's what the shorting does. What's the real price of silver? You want a, you know, touchy-feely in your hand? About $10 more.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hello. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's going to be a nice kind of semi-almost colorful, cloudy day here in Arizona, IA. Lots of stuff going on here. We've been busy last few weeks. Donna got a new refrigerator for the love bus, because the other one was just eating up too much energy. We needed to get a, you know, something less than 20-something years old. So we did that. The itty-bitty a little bit smaller, but it's it works a lot better. And then a washer-dryer. You know, it's a compact washer-dryer that fits, and they had a place in the bathroom area here and so on. Yeah, Donna's got a washer and dryer. Ha, ha, ha. Had one, but again, same thing, energy and getting old and so on. And we're still stuck here. We're going to have some, engine work done. That's another thing. We're still negotiating how that's going to be done. I'll let you know what's up. But I need to get on the road again. But, stuck in Arizona in February is not as bad as some places. So this is, while we're here, we're amping up the sign production because we kind of got everybody, we showed everybody how to do it. There's a lot going up. I've been hearing about and getting pictures sent that they're, up around the valley and everything and so on. But, I know what needs to happen. What we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead myself and anybody that wants to help, we got a place here for mass production. Once I finish, I got to put one more ceiling fan in, replace that, and then rock and roll. So I'm going to go out and just mass produce these because we got a lot of people that want to help put out, even family. I mean, everybody's in now. A lot of people are okay, I'll put up. Just for their own mental health, to say they did something, to have a story to tell, to take a picture, to do a selfie, something, we're going to put up a sign. So which ones? Well, I got some more that I want to do. We got some that we have that we're making a bunch. But, for the big signs. We got a big giant chunk to be doing probably by this weekend. Go out and you want to cause a ruckus. They'll see it again. Damn it. The signs are back. So we're going to go ahead and make a big giant play here because I can see Arizona, the people are not all in. They're just tolerant. There's a tolerance chemical. There's a, stand down chemical. There's a psyop going on. It's almost over. It'll get fixed now, as opposed to what they haven't seen what's happening is it's the trigger's getting pulled now. This with the Biden administration and them doing whatever they're doing, they're still kind of hesitant a little bit because they're, wondering what, Trump and Trump supporters and the kind of they might do or what they can do or, they're going to do or the people's mood or something. But when they pull the next trigger, it's going to be enforcement. It's government is no longer friendly advice, as if it ever was. They're not, just a friendly advice. This is what you should do. We got this department of what you call it to inform you about, and you go, I don't care what they say. Oh, yeah? Well, now they got a freaking gun, okay? And now they're going to put you in jail, and now they're going to charge you, and everybody's going to hate you and cancel you because you don't love grandma. All right? When has this ever happened? Like, all the time, All right. So next hour, Robert and I will come in and save the planet for you. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and go. One of the big things is the silver thing. We're going to be talking a lot about that because there's something deeper that's going on. And if they could print money or just add zeros on a digital ledger, if they could just, you want to short that? You need more money? Okay, here it is. Boom. And this hedge fund will lend that hedge fund. And this bank will lend that bank. And they will change, be able to put this number in that column, and all of a sudden I got the money again. And, do whatever they can. Whatever they can. But when you're dealing in physical things, there is limits. That's what makes metals precious. There's only so much of it. Well, what is it around the world? I don't know. And now it used to be, just even in the last couple of years, it was like the world felt small. It's small. You can go anywhere, anything. Now with Starship coming online, 1,000 people in one Starship for the cost of, a business class ticket to go around the world, and I'm there in 40 minutes. The world will get really small. Are the government's ready for that? They weren't before. Why do you think they had to shut it down? Too many people. See, I am old enough to remember when the Russian people, the Chinese people, or when it takes Nixon to go to China, that kind of thing on those days, they might as well have been aliens from another planet. It was almost impossible to be able to even go there, and sure as heck not, en masse. En masse, you have just any and everybody wants to go for the summer if I feel like it. You know, that, nope. And now we're back to that. Who benefits from this? It's us versus them if you can keep them mysterious. Remember in Wag the Dog, they go, Albania, why Albania? Well, why not? You know, well, nobody knows anything about Albania. Yeah, they seem kind of shifty, don't they? They seem kind of secretive, mysterious. Yeah, Albania, you know? But what the hell does that have to do with that? Yeah, Albania. Are we locked into Albania? Do we got to do Albania? Yeah, we're kind of locked into Albania. They just because the less you know about them, the more you can make them into whatever the hell you want. Seem familiar? For those of us that have been around a little bit longer, I'll tell you, man, yeah, it's a psychological thing. They just got to get you thinking that way. Here's an article from Joanne Nova. .com, shout out Australia, and this was a recommendation of James Corbett. You know, I asked, you know, what sites do you go to, and he gave me some, and this particular one I like. She's, you know, got good stuff in there. She's kind of like a Karen Katowski, you know, or Wendy, or you know, there's, you know, a lot of people that you know, they got a good take on stuff. There's no evidence of election fraud because it's illegal for election officials to provide the information. You know, this is what I've been saying. I got a call yesterday. John Brakey, big election fraud guy, and he called me. Yeah, Ernie, we're getting the image. I go, don't care. Yeah, but they're going to provide. I go, don't care. Doesn't matter. Because what he was going on about, and he knew, he was just trying to, you know, give it a positive spin, come on and talk about it. But I'm like, nope, not until you get the guys that check the signatures. Because what they're arguing is they're going to provide the images on the hard drives of that takes a picture of each ballot as it goes through. Then it matches the barcode with, you know, where it came from and who did what and the envelope of. And I go, that doesn't matter. They just created the paper, put the paper in the machine. They're going to go, yep, this paper matches what the total was. Where'd they get the paper? You're just saying that the computer's going to say, yep, we counted the paper, right? I go, yeah? Well, they manufactured a gazillion pieces of paper that were just crap. And I go, who checked the signatures on that envelope? Oh, well, it's a private company of Raspberry or whatever the hell it was. I can't remember. They go, yeah, it's a new company of whatever. And you find it's the same guys that did the last one and the one before that. You know, ES&S and Sequoia and Diebold and, you know, Dominion. And it's the same. Doesn't matter what they call it. It's all the same people. Sure as hell the same goal. So it's same people, okay? So when you go through this and you go, all right, well, here's this new company. Well, they're the ones that process, you know, the ballots. They take a picture of everything. Then they send that digital picture of the envelope cover to the government. They say, yep, yeah, here it is. You go check it. I go, yeah? Who checked it? Where's their time cards? How many people? For how many millions of votes? And they sat there and checked the signatures of these? You know, who did that? Oh, well, AI, oh, yeah, show me. They're not. They never were intended to. And so they get you distracted with all this other stuff. And I go, yeah? What about the signature? Yeah, well, Ernie, you know, that is a kind of a problem. I go, then why aren't you focusing on it? Don't sit there and tell me, oh, we got this, and I get, you know, people to, like, I don't know, keep donating to me and give me money for getting something that doesn't matter. I'm like, you'll stop pissing me off. Don't whiz on my back, tell me it's raining, man. You know, I quit. So they try and claim some kind of benefit in this election thing, but you're never going to find out because they're not going to let you. That's just the way it is. Still voting? We got to come up with something else, like buying silver because you got silver. What's the downside here? That it might not go above $30? Oh, it'll go. Don't worry about it. I've been screaming this, man. You know, friends of mine have made over 40% since March when I was screaming, get it, get out of the stock market, get into physical. Well, they're up 40%. Yeah, who's their buddy now? Won't be my buddy? Yeah, go buy an ounce of silver. Just for the hell of it. We'll be right back. Mr. Robert Anderson when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Stancock here in Tonopah, Arizona. Well, we're gonna have to get after it. You know, we got a bunch of, you know, stuff that we're still doing, fixing, getting ready for, but I got engine problems and it's warranty and they got a whatever. So we're dealing with that. But while we're here, we got to be, you know, productive, not sitting on our butt and such. So we got, you know, some plan stuff done, a little work on getting everything done, and I've got a bunch more sign material. I'm getting, Bob, you said you saw some signs out while you were out gallivanting around the valley or something?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday,
we were out driving around on the east side of the valley and saw a couple of the signs out there.
You know, it's, I'm glad people are, you know, getting on it because it's, let me turn this up here, turn this down here. All right, test it there.
One, two, three. Yeah, way better. Oh, yeah. One.
Yeah, you'll call me one. Because I sit there, you got it, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, doing levels with Ian or something. Going, yeah, you know, one, two, three. I just go one. Bob goes, I got to leave.
Yeah, you're one. Is like getting hit in the middle of the forehead with a ball-peen hammer.
And he's gone. You know, so yesterday you had, I wanted to share with the audience, you know, our conversations and, you know, what you had happen. And, you know, you had a couple of generations of sons there, you know, your older and younger sons. And you went to the see Jerry Williams, which is the owner and a good friend I've known for a long time and part of the discussion groups I go to and such. And he's a little patriot, you know, gold guy. He's a man's man. He's like, guy here, pull me off the golf course, damn it. You know, everybody wants silver. So he has been where we used to get, you know, a lot of our stuff. And then Roberts & Roberts, you know, they were able to, just out of principle, you know, taking cryptocurrency. Yeah. And we go, yeah, we'll work with
Metal
Tim
for Crypto. Roberts & Roberts.
You know, he's always been a good guy and a friend. But, you know, we go to Roberts & Roberts, and it doesn't look like he has anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, turn me up. I can hear myself. Right, yeah, the, even Jerry was saying, which, by the way, shameless plug, American Precious Metals in Phoenix. Guy's awesome. He's always been good to me, and he treats his customers well, and he's got a nice place. And so, shameless plug, you're looking for metals, go to American Precious Metals. Jerry will hook you up. And the, but no, he was, he said it was busy. I mean, way busy. He goes, he hasn't been that busy since 2008. He goes, he had people lined up out the door, down the hall. You know, he's semi-retired. He's kind of got his daughter running the place now. And he said he had to come in off of the golf course because he was so busy.
Dad, come on, man, yeah. You lined up.
He said it was busy. Busy. We were there, and the girl who was counting the money said her hands were cramping up. She had been counting money so often.
You know, and it's always like that. It's dead until it's not.
Big stacks of cash money, and she's like flip all day long. And if her hands are bugging her, so they were busy.
Now, I know how that is, man. You know, being a restaurant owner, I mean, you're always, you know, counting money, or you got into the night or doing deposits and sit there, you know, even, now it sucks, but I don't know about doing it all freaking day. You could have worse problems than counting money all day, you know. I get, so he didn't like using the machine?
I guess not.
He's like, no, go count it. That handy feely, you know, I want to know what. Well, tell the people the story. From my perspective, this is what happens. Bob's going to go down there and so on. All right. give me a 10-ounce bar just because.
Yeah.
Out of principle.
Out of principle. We're going to go down and I'm going to buy a little bit of silver to, you know, it's the patriotic thing to do. Let's, you know, plus it's the smart thing to do because that green toilet paper one of these days is going to be green toilet paper. And, you know, they keep printing it like they're printing it, and they don't seem to be slowing down at all. But so I went down there, and I've been talking to my, you know, oldest boy a little bit, and he was interested in picking some up because he's got, you know, need. And, you know, I got my youngest, well, not my second of the youngest boy, Robert, he's just getting ready to, you know, step over the threshold into manhood. He's going to be 18 here pretty soon, and he wanted to kind of get into it a little bit. So we all went down there, and I showed him how easy it was to turn green toilet paper into real money. And and they were both, you know, reasonably impressed with that, and they understand the, you know, I've spent many years teaching them the value of saving, and saving in a safe manner to, you know, be ready for the future kind of thing, or be ready for whatever might befall them in the future. And so everybody went down there. We got ourselves a little shiny medal, and everybody was happy. It was a good day.
Well, you got there towards the tail end. The line was gone.
Yeah, I had to wait for my boy to get out of school. So we waited for him to get out of school and went over there and caught Jerry before the place closed up. But yeah, no, he was saying that he goes, you know, I was really surprised. I, you know, we got some 10-ounce bars, and he goes, he had a bunch of those. And typically, when I go to buy anything from him, I ask for those because I like the way they stack and they store and everything. And he never has them, but that's all he had. I go, you know, he didn't have any, even generic 1-ounce rounds. He said he had a few of those. But he had a bunch in his display table. You know, he had American Eagles and the Pandas and the Maple Leafs and, you know, Philharmonics and all that stuff. And I was asking him, well, wait, you know, it's all those. He goes, he says I could, but one, the premiums on them was more. But he goes, once they're sold, he goes, I can't get any more. He goes, I may have to, you know, I'm going to order them, but I don't know how long I'll have to wait. So he wants to keep them in his display cabinet so he can tell people, oh, I want some of those. He goes, well, how many you want, and I'll order them. But he wants to have something to display, so he knows. And he goes, you just can't get them. He goes, you know, so all this, they're talking about whatever they're going on in the physical silver market. We'll see. Give it another week or so and see how it fleshes out. Right? They're all like, oh, there's nothing to see here. Everything's good. Everything's good. Well, the guys who were on the street selling the metal, they go, we ain't seen this since 2008. So something's going on.
Yeah, I think that's Donna. If you're listening, I think I already told her. You know, see if she can get Tim Fry on from Roberts and Roberts. I want to hear the story because he'll tell us the story, man. He's always good at telling the story. And a lot of it when these brokers, you know, depending on, you know, how much they want to reveal. I know Jerry, and we'll probably try and get him on too, and he'll share. But he's more of a, you know, global worldview of a round hat and everything. You know, where I talk to Tim, he's going, let me tell you what happened when I called the guy. I mean, you know, I get a little bit more detail. And I can tell the difference. Are you in the industry or are you in the movement? You know, there's kind of, you know, different perspective. And the idea that we had is, of course, they're going to be able, because they can just print more money. They're going to short and do, and what they can't let this get out of control. And, I mean, if they need more money, they will print it, borrow it, do it, hedge fund, lend it. Bank changing numbers and this column, that column, whatever they got to do to keep this, because once it breaks out, it's over.
They're done.
You know, and they're going to, and that was one thing I got sent, I think it was Frank Dambrees, Dr. Frank said, was a Tim Pool video that he was going, oh, they're setting you up. Which, you know, could easily be. They're setting you up. You know, you go in long on that. They're going to drive the short. This is a setup. All the media saying this because they want you to do it because they're setting you up. And, you know, the reasoning and why, I kind of missed. I was busy, whatever. But it doesn't matter. It's math, man.
Yeah, it's not only that. It's, you know, there's no down or very limited downside. I mean, if you buy a bunch of paper,
I got stuck with silver.
Yeah. If you buy a bunch of stock, they can drive the stock to zero, and you can lose everything. They can't do that with silver. Once you have it in your pocket, it might. Oh, I bought it for 25 and it went down to 23. Oh, boo hoo! But sooner or later, I have silver in my possession. I bought when it was $5.65 an ounce. So I mean, it will go back. Yeah, you will never go wrong. Own in and hold
the vast majority of mine I got, I remember it was like $13 and something.
Yeah.
You know, and I had other
little
stuff.
I bought a
stuff.
Bunch of Freedom's Phoenix coins at 18 something.
Yes, yes, I know where they are too. Yep, 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 yep. Freedom's Phoenix has their own round.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
You know, to get our minds off of this, and one of the things we got to talk about is Starship 9! Starship 9! Starship 9! I dropped my phone down there somewhere. Nah, whatever. You know, I was telling Donna to go get Silver Shield, the greatest story never told by Chris Duane. You know, we used to have him on a lot, you know, promoting Silver and so on when it goes. It's time to talk to him again. He was just talking with David Morgan on the Freedom's Feast. I saw David Morgan thing. He was talking to a Kitco guy, and these guys are all Silver guys. You know, they're just, you know, but you've been saying it for decades. And they go, yeah, it's been manipulated for decades. And it busts out a little bit. But it's not anywhere near what its real value is.
No.
I was talking to my grandson. He's 10 years old. And since they were little, I always pay him in little silver. Or I give him the little silver dime card, so it's not something they can go spend, you know. And you buy them, you know, for their birthday, they get a little safe they put in their closet, and they know their combination. And, you know, the 11-year-old's got one, and the 10-year-old's got one, and the other 8-year-old's got one. You know, and they have their own safe. Well, they put their passwords and stuff in, and my son's a real butthead. He leaves a password around for their, you know, video playing game, PS5 or some crap like that, and it's gone. Well, I need my... I'm sorry, man. You lost your pass. That sucks to be you. I guess you're not playing. So he's really on their case. You got a safe, don't you? You know?
Put your passwords in there.
And they get their little paper wallets, you know, for their Bitcoin Cash or something like that and everything. So they're starting to be more... And I go, how much you got in there? Well, over the years, I'd given them, you know, in dimes and in, you know, silver rounds, or they'd do something or help. We try and pay them in silver. And then when they get money, their mother, Laura, actually took them to one of the coin shops, and they would buy silver. So at, you know, 8, 9 years old, they're going through this stage.
I tell you what was impressive is Mike got to witness you giving me the last of the money for the silver yesterday doing Bitcoin in the kitchen. And I was like, boom, and I go, boom, see how fast that was, Mike? I could see the gears turning.
He's like, what? And I'm going, why did I pay $5,000 for that $300 in silver?
Yeah, well, you know.
Is what it's going to eventually be, you know, in crypto. So I got to go buy. Spending it's easy.
You should take that bar of silver and tape a little piece of paper on how much Bitcoin you spend.
Damn
on that.
Damn Skippy. I'm going to take a Sharpie and go, this is how much in Bitcoin Cash, you know, we put on this to do this. Kind of, you know, damn it. You know? So it's,
But it'll be good to track the price of Bitcoin compared to the price of silver that allow you to do that. Now, you can see it and see if they stay in parity or if crypto goes up way faster than silver or silver goes up faster. You know, I mean, you can, now you'll have a...
Well, I used to when I first did, I did like $6,000 in silver and got Bitcoin back when it was 250, 270, around in there. And I could see what was going to happen. I was at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and they were starting to do the point-of-sales machines were having the ability to do digital currencies. And I go, here we go. You know, within three, they're already planning for it. You know, here it comes. Of course, they want to do GoldmanSucks.gov coin, but, you know, they had the ability to do... transactions in digital currencies at a cash register. And it's just, and they don't need to know how to what. They don't get, just say, you know, put here, swipe here, near field touch here, you know, put card in here, chip here. They don't give a crap. Just, you know, make it go work. So when they make that automated, you know, I know just from being a restaurant owner, every 3 to 8 years, you're totally redoing your cash take money system, you know, because I mean, it just breaks, you know, or you got new technology or whatever. So I'm going, and when was that? It was like, that was 13, 14, 15. Yeah, it was 15. So 15, it was right before we had the Bitcoin summit. And I'm going, and that was 15 on Pi Day. So, you know, 3, 14, 15. So I'm going, all right. So 15, that's 5 years. So, yep, it's about on schedule. They're all going to be going to digital, the point of sales things.
Yep. Oh, it's all Google Pay, Apple Pay, and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's what I want. I want Google tracking all my friggin' purchases already more than they already do, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing. It's a you know, a link in the blockchain to the crown. I mean, you got to be careful. So you need to understand how. That's one thing, you know, we're talking with Mike. I'm going, look, you know, See how fast it is? It's kind of easy and convenient, but, you know, what kind of information does it track? How do you, you know, there's all kinds of different ways of doing it. So with my grandson, I go, all right, how are we going to do this? Because you see Tech Buddy up on the front page now. That's a 10-year-old kid, comes across really cool science stuff that he's got, you know, then we showed him how to do it, and he puts it up. And it's cool stuff. I'm going, cool. Well, this is cool stuff. Magnetic propulsion for rocket engines to go into Mars a lot faster. I'm going, hell yeah. You know, get that crap up there, son. So grandson puts that up there. You need to get paid, man.
Little ching-ching in his wallet.
Little something to get paid. So I go, it's going to be hard for me to do the silver thing back and forth. So I tell you what, we'll get you a crypto wallet. So we did a paper wallet, you know, and puts it in a safe, and it just keeps feeding to it. His dad made a copy, two copies of that one. So he has it. I go, that's third-party risk. I know, as he's going around going, security violation, sweeping the wallets every time I'd show him, put it in. So Buddy had his hand over it, you know. He's like, you know, holding it. His dad's coming around with a phone, you know, a little butthead. So, you know, these are good lessons for him. But then he started in, it's like delayed spending. Oh, I could get and save, and I want it. I go, then that's not savings. You know, why am I giving it to you? I want to just give you, you know, funny money to play with. This is for when you get married, had your first kid, and buying your first house kind of thing. You know, this is for, because this right here that you got right here might do that. You just got to wait.
That's right.
You know, and he goes, okay. And he will. You know, those kids, you know, I remember they going up to grandma and say, is this good for me? Oh, yeah, that's really good. I like it then.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know.
How rare is that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Robert went in there, and he's been, you know, he's got a little peanut butter jar piggy bank thing that he's been keeping money in, because we've been giving him a little bit of, you know, cash here and there to, you know, kind of teaching him a little financial discipline. So he's doing some savings. So he went in there, and that's, now he's got his 3 ounces of silver he put in there. And, you know, he's like, ooh, rubbing it. It's like, I remember, it's when I get your first medal, it's kind of like, ooh, it's like magic. Ooh, I like to just, you know, wish I had enough I could roll around on the bed in it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, and you get a silver, a gold coin especially,
oh, yeah.
And you feel the weight.
Oh, yeah.
You go, damn, that's heavy, man.
It rings. You flip it in the air like a quarter, and it goes, bing. It's got a ring to it.
Like the gold.
Gold does.
That's very interesting. You know, we were at the...
At least I hear it that way.
Right. We were at the Stuckey's, it was an old truck stop where we put a big billboards up there, you know, the Ron Paul thing. And I remember when 4409 threw a quarter on the counter, on the glass, you know, casing kind of thing to pay for a soda or something like that. And he goes, what? And he picked it up. It was a silver quarter. You could tell by the ring. It was a different sound.
Yeah.
And he's going, what that? You know, oh, it's a silver. We go, woohoo, man, we found one. You know, just in circulation, just because you could tell the difference in the sound.
Yep.
And we have been practicing and playing with that. I remember we had, oh, you may remember this. Westbrook and those, we had a parking swap kind of thing. We had a yard sale behind our headquarters down there. And we had it on the corner, and it said, lawnmower, you know, I don't know, $5. This, do that. Well, it was by the definition of dollar as a weight of silver. So you want to buy it? You got to come buy the silver first. Then you'll spend the U.S. pre-64 dollars to buy the products. And we did that about the third week the city came out. They went, no, getting too busy. Never can do it, man.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. We're sitting here yakking. God, man. All right. Get some Dogecoin just because, screw them.
Yeah. Get some,
you know, get a couple hundred dollars because, you know, what the hell. That's one thing that happens is that, you know, it's easy to use Edge Wallet. Now I use Coinami because it has a bunch of, you know, different things, but, you know, coins that you can do. But Edge keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. We should have Donna get Paul Play on. Go ahead and, you know, let's do it. I want to talk, because Edge has been, you know, timing out sometimes. You know, they're logging in. It's kind of overwhelmed to something. I don't know what the hell's going on there. I definitely want to, all right. You know, I don't want to hear this Bitcoin argument. Well, of course you want to go with the people that are popular and that you can't get to, or you can't go to the restaurant. That means they're good, right? You know, that kind of crap. I'm like, no, it needs to work. So I have some Bitcoin, but generally I put it in other stuff and primarily Bitcoin Cash because it just, you know, worked. Because Bitcoin, I needed to do a transaction with someone that he's a manufacturer. Well, I'll just tell you who it is. Jeremy is on the Telegram, and he got some sign templates. He made a bunch of signs, him and Thomas Friedman, and they, you know, having some fun and doing some work, and they're anti-authoritarian of the man telling you whatever. And his wife lost her job because she refused to wear a mask. And I'm going, and he manufactures banjos. And I go,
it's because she doesn't love grandma.
Doesn't love grandma. So I'm going, you know, I need me a customized inlaid logo, whatever. I need me some banjo. That's what I need. And I have a patron that has a music room, and I don't think he has a banjo in there. Got everything else. I mean, harp and drums and freaking pianos and all kinds of crap. And I don't recall there being a banjo. I think he needs a banjo. You know, with some Love Bus and Freedom's Phoenix and Pirates or something on there, right? So he came up with the design and one of his, you know, I said, all right, you know, I'll get you started. You know, I'll send you, we can do crypto because, see, crypto's so easy. It's so easy to spend, you know, but damn it, you know, I need, you know, got to, you know, I'm always trying to find a place to buy. Well, what happens is I go, all right, blip, you know, and I send it. Well, the transaction fee, they go, well, it's kind of a high transaction. It's like, I don't know, $6 to $10, some crap like that. So I'm going, no, I'll let it go slower. I'm in no big giant rush. It can take however long it takes to confirm. But, you know, the low was like $2 and something to send a transaction. And I'm going, you know, it's a few hundred dollars, but get them going. But I'm like, that's not bubblegum money. No. I'm not using that in commerce. You know, but when I do a transaction in Bitcoin Cash, because that's all Mr. Anderson Butthead will take, you know, then...
Well, I have been told by numerous people, I think you, that Bitcoin Cash is going to be the way better coin to have. So why soil my wallet with some of that ugly Bitcoin core?
Because I can't dump my Bitcoin, that's why. Butthead. So I do it. So how much is it worth now? I gave you... I don't know however much I gave you.
I know. It's gone up probably $2 or $3 since yesterday. And the price of silver has gone down $2 or $3, so I guess the spread I've made is, you know, $5 or $6.
I don't feel better other than, you know, it's a friend that got, you know, at my expense. Yeah, whatever. So, but Dogecoin. Now, Dogecoin, I remember when it came out, and it was kind of a... That was just fun, you know, that a dog on it. I mean, you know, whatever. It was the logo. I didn't know why it exists. I remember when they were pumping it back in the day.
One of their pets or something like that, of the guys that started it. It was.
And just, they're just playing. Well, for whatever freaking God knows reason, Elon Musk came out and said, yeah, Dogecoin, because Dogecoin. I didn't know why, you know, because he said and brought attention to it. Well, you got a bunch of them at, like, what? 3-4 cents a piece or something?
Yeah, like 3 cents a piece.
What are they now?
It's like 3-point-something cents a piece. I mean, yeah, I bought $50 worth of Dogecoin, which gave me like 1,600 of them, and I think last I looked, my wallet was like at $52. So I mean, I made a little bit, but you know, if it goes to 10 cents, I mean, that's like I made $500. You know, could this coin go from 3 cents to 10 cents? God forbid it goes to like. At one time, Bitcoin was 2 or 3 cents. You know, now it's at, 34,000?
And that's what everybody's betting on, you know, is this kind of gains and so on. But that's not, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at the hype or the pump or something. I want to talk to the guys that are doing it. I want to know why they're doing it. I want to know what their use case is. I want to know how much demand's going to suppress it.
Which is why I got to do Bitcoin Cash and not Bitcoin Core, because somebody told me that, like, Bitcoin Core was not going to be the bubblegum money. So I'm like, you know, that's why I insist on Bitcoin Cash.
And you're better off because I...
Thank you very much.
They're getting... Yeah, there's a, that's what... See, the development for these cryptos is for what they're best at. It's internet currency. It's free because it's easy. And when you were sitting there showing Mike, your son, I'm going, you know, all right, Mike, I owed you like another $20 or something.
Yeah.
You know, 23, you gave me a discount. Oh, yeah, the $3 discount. You're $6 down to $3 now. I feel better.
See, I was hooking you up.
Yeah, you went for, you know, gas money, too. So he goes down there, and I said, just give me a 10-ounce bar just out of principle, okay? So say hey to Jerry, you know, what's up? Hey, how's Ernie doing? So get the 10-ounce bar, and then It's I gave you like $300 and it was $323 or something. So I need another $20. Okay, Mike, here we go. Blip, blip, boom, and it showed up on your phone about how many seconds after?
3 or 4 seconds.
3 or 4 seconds. Boom, done. I go, you feel me now? And they're like, wow. Now I know what this whole hoopla is about. It's that.
Yeah.
It's speed and
convenience.
Yeah, it's just and maintains the value. Well, what's it based on?
Convenience.
Yeah, the amount of gold and silver you're willing to give up for its traits. That's it. You know, what's it worth? It's worth, you know, freaking speed and convenience and security and, you know, that's what it's worth. And then, but then what's Bitcoin worth? Well, they say that in big transactions. We're the gold of. They got somebody to endorse that. Somebody is behind the scenes. Somebody. This is GoldmanSucks.gov coin. And they see it's a minor thing that's going. That can't last. I don't see that as a feature. Unless they're going to come in with some kind of fiat decree. These are good. And these are bad cryptos. You can do these. But you can't do those. Your social credit score is going to go down.
Right.
Yeah.
So my social credit score might go down, but my Bitcoin Cash score is going to go up.
Which is more important to you? Which is, it depends, you know. That's what they're trying to get you on.
I probably don't have a very big social credit score anyways.
I'm
an angry old curmudgeon.
I'm going to be all disappointed. They're going to, Ernie Hancock, what file? I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going, like, okay.
Well, this is going in your permanent file.
It already doesn't have a file.
Could care less.
So this is the silver thing, as we're talking about it. We've been doing this for, God, decades. You and I are looking at this stuff. And every time people get a scrap, it's $3. It's $6. It's $9. It's $13. Then it was $15 for a long time. $17. It broke $20. It went back down. Then it's mid-20s. Then $30. Then it went up to like $45. I remember when it was $45 there for a little while, and we're going, ooh, is it time to sell? You know, and then I go, nah, maybe not. It's not a metal you sell. I mean, I'm just not big into selling, but our idea, Donna and I, was when our silver and all this stuff, we keep accumulating, like we're trying to tell our grandsons and daughters, and we go, look, when you have a family, it's not even an emergency fund. It's kind of, you don't even have it until you trade it for security. You're trading it for a life. You're trading it for a house. You're trading it for moving to an island of what, you know, it's for that. You know, it's for when you go to the next stage. I save for the benefit of. You know, it's a retirement thing. It's getting your first house thing. It's something. But it's not this delayed spending. I get a, you know, better bicycle with, you know, spinners on the wheels. I mean, you know, none of that crap. And they go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I use it as my, you know, bank of last resort. If I never have to tap it, it'll go on to become somebody else's bank of last resort. But that's my bank of last resort. You know, that's I save long term. Like I say, I got metal I bought when it was $5.65 an ounce. Go back and look in history, see how long ago that was.
You did cash in to buy your land here a little bit, didn't you? A
little bit, not much. But you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. You know, trade
then
one.
The bank wants to know where that came from.
Yeah, trade one asset for another kind of thing. Yeah.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, here's a good meme. You know, Greg's memes that are, you know, not safe for work. They have this one that says, inflation, controlling your purchasing power since 1913.
I saw that. That was a good one.
That was a good one. He has a shopping cart that's just full of stuff, and it's got more stuff on the side and two more bags and stuff. It's like overflowing. Then, you know, you go, okay, and that's 1928. 1996, it's kind of three-quarters full, whatever. 2017, it's just got, you know, like three or four things in it. And then now it's just an IOU, you don't get anything. You know, I'm like, wow. Then it has one Bitcoin of what you get in 2011, a little bit of stuff, three-quarters, 2013, 2017, it's like overflowing.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, you know,
you
to
buy
the freaking moon.
You buy the supermarket.
Yeah, you know, liberating people around the world from fiat currency since 2009. deflation. And that's what was happening when we were on the gold standard. It was getting to where people could purchase or build their own home. It's like your family. Your parents weren't rich.
No.
They bought a house, had it delivered, and assembled it.
And built it.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
For like $5,000.
Which was what?
Whatever $5,000 was back in 1955 or whatever it was, that kind of.
So this is what we're hoping to go. That's why I'm in on the, building and doing, the dome and the aircrete and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we're not going to get to aircrete Harry when I was hoping to get there by next week. That's probably not going to happen, so I got to let him know. But this has been a goal for me is that's what this is all about. When I was doing, when Corbett and I did Wednesday, that was my whole thing. I got, a lot of response from that. And I'm doing, this is what it's all about. It's for doing this. Oh, he's showing me SN9 and SN10. Okay. The FAA, all right, tell the people what happened.
Well, apparently, this is the story the FAA is telling everyone, is that when SN8 flew and then almost landed and blew up in a fireball or whatever it was, that somehow violated the license they had given him for doing his rocket launches and whatever. But
what, you're not allowed to crash?
Whatever. I'm not sure of all the, because nobody really got a clear answer out of him. Because they waited until he was, an hour or so away from trying to launch SN9 and went, we're pulling all your all your BS that that we gave you. No TFR, no permission to launch, yeah. And they were basically telling
TFR, them, temporary flight restrictions for people flying over, whatever.
Yeah, for the airspace. So you can sit there. So basically they canceled all that stuff, literally as he was fueling the rocket up. So, they waited to the last minute to,
flex their biceps.
They waited to the last minute to ensure the health and safety of the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll tell you. Of course, it had nothing to do with the fact that, the Biden administration and Space Launch System and Boeing and Northrop and all those, of course they
launches and lands this thing.
Yeah.
Their rocket ship is
dead.
And done. Why are you wasting time?
And they've been talking for years that the Space Launch System is basically called the Senate Launch System because it's just a big pork barrel. These guys are billions of dollars over budget, years behind, and, it's the military-industrial complex with their, $10,000 hammer. It's the trough, and they've been used to living and eating out of this trough, and they don't ever have to perform, and all of a sudden this guy comes along, Elon Musk, and he's building rockets like boom, 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 his rapid prototyping, and they say they're just not prepared for that that cadence of launches. Personally, it's in my opinion that this is basically politically motivated to slow his butt down so Boeing and Northrop don't look too stupid for all the money that you and I, or actually you and our grandchildren, or worse, even their grandchildren, are getting leveraged through tax dollars through debt.
This is,
It just shows you free market compared to government. Musk is free market, and look where he's at, and look where government is at.
Well, think of where all the government regulation and supported and subsidized industries that he's going to disrupt. You have airlines.
Yep.
This is going to be 40 minutes point to point around the world, at 17,000 miles an hour. They're not digging that, which is, airlines is being the manufacturers for that. They think, Boeing, and they're already, freaking got, half their hip into the grave already anyway.
Right.
So you have that. And then, of course, you got all the other international thing, but we're just talking here. You got Northrop. You got, I don't know who the hell else is, Lockheed. Whoever's left.
Right.
And they're just living on this. And you have, my kids work in aerospace, and they're all going, yeah, they need to have a war or something, man. They're around pulling thumbs.
Yeah, don't you think, we hate Trump, he's a mean tweet. No, they hate Trump because he's bringing the troops, home. As soon as Biden's in there, guess what? Business is a booming. The troops are heading back to Afghanistan. I think within the day he had people marching into Syria.
I was like, just to be a dick.
Yeah, just to be a dick. They turn your sons and daughters' blood into cash money in their pocket. And they were pissed in Washington for the last 4 years because, damn it, the gravy train had stopped. Well,
yeah, I'm just seeing way too many vectors that are coming at, and what they do is they erode their own credibility. And this is something that I really
don't need credibility if you got a big enough gun to point at the other guy's head, and that's what they're doing. They're pointing a gun at the American people's head after this last election. I mean, come on, people. The mask is off. You are a slave. You will do what you're told. You'll own nothing, and you'll friggin' like it.
You know, that was another thing we were talking, you know, Bob. It's like, if you could do the, I don't know, satirical news or something, you know, you take their quotes, you just emphasize, like, oh, you'll own nothing,
and you'll like it,
you know? And then, you'll own nothing, and you'll like it. With rainbow, it's like watching a pharmaceutical commercial, everybody, you know, prancing through flower fields while they're reading off the side effects of how your testicles fall off. But
rectal bleeding, vomiting, you know, it's like, you know, oh, yeah, and why? Because I got itchy skin. Oh, take this drug for your itchy skin. But you might have some rectal bleeding, and you might be sterile.
Did you see that one video of them doing anal swabs in China?
That was not on the highlight of my thing to watch this morning.
Okay. China is going, you know, because they stick it in your nasal cavity and go, hell, they're implanting crap. I mean, they're tickling your brain.
They're doing,
you know?
DNA harvesting is what they're doing.
You think? I don't like it anyway. So the Chinese go, yeah, no, it's not that big a deal. You just do an anal swab. Yeah, you get more, you know, nasty goody anyway or whatever.
Line up and bend over, citizen.
Well, they had, I don't know what it was from, but there was a video of a bunch of Chinese people, you know, lines, and they're wearing masks, and they're walking like penguins. They're going, oh! And they were saying that this was from them doing the anal swab, which wasn't true, probably.
How big was that cotton swab?
I was like, whoa, damn, they're going to do like a colonoscopy, clean out enema, dry enema.
Yeah. Well, bend over, America, because next four years is going to be an anal swab.
Oh, bend over, America. See, I feel a sign coming on, man. You know, you have a little cotton swab stencil. The guy bent over.
Have you had your anal swab today? They'd line up. I swear to God. I was out there in the National Forest at the Sledding Hill, and 20% of the people or better were walking around in the fresh, clean white snow, sliding through the pine trees, wearing friggin' masks. Amazing.
What was the age group of these people?
Young people. You know, I was the old man there. You know, that's why I wasn't sledding. I was over there lighting the campfire. staying warm. But no, I was amazed. You know, I mean, there were quite a few people not. But, I mean, you're outside. You're not, like, you know, sucking face with anybody or coughing and hacking on, you know, you're not trapped in an elevator. These people are out in the middle of a freaking forest.
Oh, somebody
and
had,
they're wearing masks.
Had a video meme that was on Declare Your Independence, Learn Ernest Hancock Telegram thing. And it was this guy kind of looking in the camera at the bar, just kind of, you know, like disgusted looking. And behind him was a couple making out, both wearing masks.
I saw that one.
That had to be staged. That's just stupid.
Yeah, it was pretty. You know, the whole thing's, you know, I say I don't give anybody grief. You know, I mean, if it makes them feel better, you know, as long as they don't give me crap for not, I ain't going to give them too much crap for, at least to their face. You know, I'll snicker behind them like sheep, you know, but it's like seeing people walking, you know, driving in their car by themselves with a mask on. It's like, what? You know,
it's their bumper sticker, so you know who they voted for.
I'm just like, you know, come on, man.
You know, this is, what can you do? You know, resist, be informed, you know, get ready, you know, for stuff to happen. That's the biggest thing, is be ready. And, you know, getting some precious metals and so on just because, maybe some crypto, and right after you get enough food.
Food.
You know, you can't eat silver. You are correct, sir. But I don't have any more room for my food.
That's right.
You know, it's just, it stacks better. You know, but, yep, get the food. But if you want to have something that you can do, what can you do to just piss off they, them, those? What can you do?
Buy some silver.
Buy some precious metals.
Go get an ounce of silver, everybody.
Yeah.
Just one.
One.
Go spend $30.
So you have, you can split it.
And?
Or get 2 half ounces so you can make coil silver with it.
That'll count more against it than your vote did.
Absolutely. It's called wallet voting.
Go buy 1 ounce of silver if you think your vote really mattered or didn't matter.
Yeah, you'll see what matters.
You'll see what matters.
Yeah, you'll see what matters. Go find out what matters. Get 1 ounce of silver. Be part of the revolution. They'll hammer it down to it. Doesn't matter. You still got an ounce.
That's a sign.
This is my freedom zone.
You think they stole your vote? Go buy silver.
Ooh.